In time, the garden became theirs, and the grass grew back without George's having to sow one single seed. It gracefully became a verdant cradle for their young children, Maureen and Elizabeth, where in summer afternoons they would sometimes be found among the long and tender new blades, curled, baby-fleshed, asleep, like soft blackberries having fallen from the bush. Catherine had often said that she would have made pies from them and eaten them. And George had seemed more at ease, more sure of a step. Becoming a father had been good for him, Catherine had thought. Since Maureen and Elizabeth had been born, he had been happier. It was when Elsa was born, however, that she saw George's irascibility rise again, more intensely this time. Perhaps because Elsa was born at home, perhaps because of that, she kept telling herself, George had appeared more vulnerable and had begun to behave as though he believed that the whole house was under siege. Outside the window of the bedroom, where she was in labour with Elsa, bees had made a hive. With the impending birth, the busyness of the bees had barely been noticed. But that evening, as contractions began and she felt herself opening, as a freshly healed wound might be opened, reopened, accidentally, irreversibly, the bees' night gathered. She felt the impending force of her baby's descent as a thousand honey-laden bees hummed a melodious and rhythmical welcome song, a droning lullaby for the buttery baby. Daylight had soberly nudged its way in, and Elsa was born. George had stood at the bedside of mother and baby, as though he were a visitor in his own house, respectful and distant, his tender attention tempered by puzzlement that he could father a child so fair, so golden. After the birth, her thighs blood-streaked and purposeless from the long labour, Catherine had wept from exhaustion and joy and had kissed the blue-hued skin of her pointy-headed baby. But George, it seemed, could only worry about the bees.
"The bees have to be killed. The hive has to be destroyed," George had announced with a defiant anger.
"Bees? What bees?" Catherine had said, holding their new baby, the cadences of labour still fresh and warm. And so the bee killer had been called in to smoke the bees out, a little man in a big hat. "I'll put on my bee suit for protection," the man had said to George, like a child reading aloud, as though, in a final act of courtesy, he himself dressed up as a bee to do the deed. For weeks after Elsa's birth, dead bees could be found all over the house. Singular, sad, furry, redundant cases. Their still wings a thin, transparent film, the colour of gently caramelised onion. Light, dried bodies semaphorically cut short, and with the quietness of their purpose frozen. They lay around the house in corners, behind cupboards, reminders of a cruel and unnecessary demise. Some were even found outside, scattered by the fuchsia bush that grew by the coal shed. Under the cardinal purses of sickly nectar, they were little dark dots of death.